Hey everyone, so glad you're joining us today. You can open your Bible or device to Matthew chapter 13. This is called the parable of the sower today. And if as you're turning there, I want you to look at this picture of these seeds. Seeds are incredible, really. I mean, you see how tiny those things are. These are like the size of a little oat bran, right? And two things strike me about seeds like this. One is how vulnerable seeds are. I mean, look at how small and how light they are. A gust of wind could so easily just blow them away, or a little trickle of water could just wash them away. But the other thing that strikes me is how transformational seeds are. Think about it. There's nothing in nature more transformative than a seed. By the way, those little seeds that you saw are sequoia seeds. And here's a picture of my boys last year at Yosemite next to a big sequoia tree, right? Those are incredible specimens. Almost as tall as the Statue of Liberty. They have bark that's 3 feet thick. They live for 3,500 years, surviving and actually thriving through forest fires and other calamities. All from that simple, tiny, vulnerable little seed. Now in today's parable, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a seed. Actually, he calls the seed the word of the kingdom. And so the seed is teaching. It's the gospel. It's information. It's the Bible. And in order to enter the kingdom, you and I need to be hearers and understanders of this kingdom word. The kingdom of God is like a seed, he says. What an unusual description. Think about it. Historically, most earthly kingdoms come only through coercion and force. I mean, when Attila the Hun came into your village, there were only two kinds of people left: those who were in his kingdom and those who were dead, right? Earthly kingdoms come like a meteor. But today, Jesus says, the kingdom of God comes like a seed. A meteor smashes the ground, but a seed gently covers the ground. A meteor breaks the ground. A seed slowly transforms the ground. And some of you are here today and you're stuck or you're unhappy. Maybe you're here and you're unconvinced of Christianity or the Bible. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, God can't be real because I'm going through this or that or the other. And if he was truly a king and this was truly his kingdom, he would do something about my suffering. And there are times when we wish his kingdom was more like a meteor. Lots of flash and bang, an unmistakable display of power. Don't you wish sometimes that Jesus would show up in person and just do some miracles for the cameras and remove everybody's doubts? Because if he's a great king, then why on earth am I suffering, we ask? It's because his kingdom isn't like a meteor. It doesn't smash. It doesn't wipe out all those who disagree with him. It doesn't wipe out all those who oppose me. His kingdom comes gently like a seed. And at first, it looks vulnerable and weak and simple and underwhelming. And people will scorn it and they'll laugh at it and they'll reject it. And they'll say, there's no way that that silly little thing has the power to change a life or to transform a community or to affect the world. But just wait. Because even though it starts as a tiny seed, before you know it, that little seed will transform an entire landscape in a way that not even a stick of dynamite can do. Because it's not like the other kingdoms that come by force and domination. The kingdom of God will conquer with love and not force. It will triumph with willing obedience and not slavery. And at first, it might look not much like not much is happening, but eventually it's going to change your whole life and it's going to change the whole world. And so the kingdom of God is like a seed. And this story is called the parable of the sower. But ironically, this isn't a parable mainly about the seed, and it's not a parable mainly about the sower either. You see, in order to find the key point of a parable, sometimes you have to look for the variable in the story. And of the three things in this story, the seeds, the sower, and the soil, two are constants and only one is the variable. The seeds don't change, they're a constant. This is not a story about good or bad seeds. The sower doesn't change. This is not a story about a good or bad sower. In fact, the sower is generous, even extravagant. He's not careful at all about where the seeds are landing. He just throws them out there. He's making sure to spread seeds everywhere. So the sower doesn't change. The seeds don't change. The variable, then, is the soil. See, whether or not the seeds take root, whether or not the kingdom takes hold, everything will rise and fall on the quality of the soil. And the soil, of course, represents you and me. The condition of the soil is connected to the condition of your heart. And so here's today's big idea. A thriving Christian life depends on a receptive heart. And the question that I'd like you to consider today as we go is, how's my heart? I want to give some research shout outs today. One to Tim Keller in an article called The Sower and Hearing, and one to J.D. Greer for a message called A Parable About Parables. I'm indebted to them both for some of my content today. Now, this is one of those parables where Jesus interprets it for us and for his disciples. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, I read a so-called scholar this week who basically said he wishes that Jesus hadn't included the explanation of the parable because Jesus interpreted his own parable wrong. So this dude was going to set Jesus straight. Trust me, guys, when Jesus tells us what his teaching means, that's what it means. And he tells us in this case. So here's the scene. Jesus' ministry was so magnetic, the crowds were pushing in so hard that Jesus had to find retreat into a boat. And so he pushes out into the water as the crowds literally mobbed the shoreline. And he sits down in the boat to teach, which was the posture of a formal rabbi. And I've always imagined him sitting in that boat with the crowd on the shore, motioning to a nearby field where a farmer was planting his crops. And he says these words in Matthew 13, starting in verse 3. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And so his disciples pulled Jesus aside and they asked for meanings of this parable. Jesus admitted that sometimes his parables are confusing. And understanding the parables of Jesus has more to do with cultivating a receptive heart than having a brilliant mind. And so he explains to them what the parable of the sower means. And we're going to walk through this explanation. And we're going to look at each of the four conditions of the heart that Jesus teaches about. And notice he ended that little section with, whoever has ears, let him hear. That the challenge to listen and to hear is a major theme in this story. And we're not talking about physical hearing here, but spiritual receptivity. A receptive heart is the key. I pray that yours would be receptive today. So we're going to go down to verse 18 and we're going to look at how Jesus interprets his words. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path, right? So we're going to stop there. And again, I would ask you today, how's your heart? Here's the first kind of heart that Jesus warns us about. He says, beware of a hard heart. I was just in an airplane a couple of weeks ago, and Jesus is saying here that sometimes the teachings of Christ get the same receptivity as an airline stewardess giving instructions about the oxygen masks and the emergency exits at the beginning of the flight. You know, you ever looked around when they're doing that? No one is listening. People are sleeping. People are absorbed out, you know, in their book. They're staring out the window. They're listening to music. They're finishing up that last minute text before the plane takes off. No one is listening. And that's how some people treat the gospel. This is the hard soil, Jesus says, or that which is sown along the path. In fact, go ahead and underline that little phrase in verse 19 and just write, hard heart. The path, it was made up of hard-packed dirt. Think about it. That was where the people walked. It's where the animals walked. It's where carts were pulled along. It would be like you planting grass seed out in your yard and some of it flies out onto the road. There's no chance anything is going to grow out there in the middle of the road. It's too hard. And Jesus is saying, that's what some of your hearts are like. Like a hard path where the gospel can't penetrate. And it's scary to think that it's possible that you can be in regular contact with the Word of God and it never takes root in your heart. You see, a seed can't germinate unless it goes underneath the surface. And so some of you come here every single weekend and you listen, but you leave here and almost immediately Satan, like a bird, he snatches away that chance of spiritual awakening for you by planting doubts in your mind in the place of the Word of God. And let's be honest, the message of the kingdom is a little hard to believe. Can I review with you just for a second? The God of the universe, the King of the universe, came down from heaven, and his plan was to triumph and offer salvation for all of humanity by being tortured and killed. And because he did, he can come into your life and he can change you from the inside out, and he can change your destiny from condemned to glorified for all eternity. And the rules of the kingdom that he set up are things like you have to lose yourself to find yourself. And the way up is down. And the way to really be rich is to give everything away. And the way to the pinnacle of success is to become a humble servant. And the best way to grow and become like Christ is to go through suffering and pain and persecution so you can learn dependence on him. And we're like, what? Right? Yeah, that's true, because the kingdom starts with a little seed. And that seed is a truth. And not everyone is going to get it. And it doesn't make much sense. In fact, it's going to take a spiritual awakening of some kind to even understand it. Actually, when you think about it in this way, it's only the miracle of regeneration that allows anyone to see the truth about Jesus. And so let's stop congratulating ourselves for coming to see the truth, because guess what? It wasn't your intelligence. It wasn't your own righteousness that led you to understand the gospel. It was his grace. And so when you find someone who isn't convinced like you are of your faith, don't talk down to them like they're stupid. Don't condemn them like they're immoral. Pray for God to extend grace to them just like he did for you. Pray for a softened heart and for spiritual eyes to see. They're not crazy for not believing. They just need eyes to see. Some of you have a hard heart here today, which means that the word that could actually save you is being stolen from you. The evil one comes and he snatches away the truth of the kingdom. This reminds us that even though Satan is bound, he's still a danger. There are two types of kingdoms who are in deadly combat for the human soul, for your soul. And Satan will do his level best to make sure that you don't hear or understand the word of the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, beware of a hard heart. Here's the second heart condition. He says, beware of a shallow heart. I want you to look at verse 20. It says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And so underline the words there, rocky ground in verse 20, and just write shallow heart in the margin. This is the person who's grabbing onto every part of Christianity at first with great excitement. And for a brief time, they're on fire for Jesus. They're excited about Jesus. They're telling all their friends about Jesus. I used to see this all the time at youth retreats when I was a youth pastor. And it's frankly, honestly, intoxicating as a leader, because you're seeing huge numbers of people respond to Christ. But they're like a flare. They have this glowing passion at first. And a flare is mesmerizing to look at the beginning. But the problem is it burns bright and then it burns out. And what I've found out over the years is that a lot of people don't really respond to Jesus. They respond to a feeling. And as soon as the feeling is gone, they're going to fall away. This kind of faith doesn't have deep enough roots to take the heat of the sun. Verse 21 calls that heat tribulation or persecution on account of the word. As soon as it comes, they turn their backs on God. These folks never really understood the truth of the kingdom. They weren't truly entering Christ's kingdom. They were trying to get Christ to enter their kingdom. You see, most people want a sugar daddy, not a king. They want somebody they can get stuff from. And as soon as Jesus wasn't providing what they wanted, they left him, which proves that what they really worshiped was not the God of the Bible. What they really worshiped was the things that they lost in the heat. They said, wait, you mean I have to walk away from those old friends? Wait, I don't get to sleep with anyone and everyone I want? Wait, you mean I'm going to have to sacrifice some of my time and talent and money for this kingdom? You see, sometimes our real gods get revealed when things get hot, when the sun comes out. And so these folks had a personal experience with Christ, but it did not lead to true repentance. They never turned over the controls of their life, and they flamed out. Some of you, in the sound of my voice here, you got off to a good start in your faith. But you need to know that the proof of true faith is not intensity at the beginning. It's endurance to the end. And in our day, Jesus is talking about those of you who can point back to an event and say, you know, I prayed the prayer. I walked the aisle. I heard the message. I got the hell scared out of me at a campfire at youth group, right? I said yes at the time, but from that moment on, I have had no objective evidence of Christ working in my life at all. You've not grown in your love for Jesus. You've not grown in your worship of Him. There's no recognizable fruit in your life. No evident passion of your walk with God. You literally have a moment to point back to, and outside of that, nothing else. Your faith was on rocky ground, and it went away as fast as it came. And so Jesus says, beware of the shallow heart. Now look at verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. I think he's telling us here to beware of a divided heart. The thorns grow up. Thorns are just a type of weed that suck out moisture and nutrition from the ground. And so the soil itself is soft enough and it's deep enough. The problem is clutter. The soil is divided. It can't sustain both the weeds and the good plants. And so the soil ends up wasting its nutrients on weeds. And the good plants are choked out by sheer competition and divided resources. Right there in verse 22, just underline that phrase that says, among thorns, and write, divided heart. Again, this is so descriptive of some of you today. This is the person who hears the gospel and receives it and then is invited by God into obedience, but soon their faith starts getting crowded out by other interests. This passage says specifically the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. People trade intimacy with Christ for really dumb things. And there are those of you here right now whose interest is piqued by this message today. And you're going to leave here in 15 or 20 minutes. And when you do, there's going to be stuff to do. And life to get on with, and bills to pay, and the craziness of life to attend to. And in a half hour from now, you're going to forget all of this. Your heart is divided. There are those of you who have kids and travel soccer or hockey or dance or whatever, and you'll just set your faith aside and you'll set church aside for long stretches of time because the cares of this world have your heart divided. And some of you are getting ready to go into this summer and your plan is to go boating or to the lake house or to whatever every single weekend and you'll just pick up with God again next fall. And some of you refuse to be obedient with your first fruits and your tithe because the deceitfulness of riches has a hold on you. Some of you students, you realize that this message, the word of God, it's important, but the moment you leave here, you're going to look down at your phone or you're going to get consumed by drama with your friends or whatever, and you're going to go onto Snapchat and you're going to get consumed by a boyfriend or a girlfriend and set God on the shelf for long stretches of time. And listen, these are not all bad things, but the cares of this world have the capacity to choke out the word of God in your life. And quite frankly, this group, the third group, you're the only group in these four soils who are completely miserable. At least the other three have clearly declared their loyalty and they're okay with it. But you're divided between two worlds, two kingdoms. You've seen and heard and even believed too much. You know the answer. You know the answer is full surrender to the God of the Bible, giving Him full lordship over every area of your life, but you won't do it. And you wonder why. You're so unhappy. Why you're filled with anxiety all the time. Why you always feel stuck spiritually. I'll tell you why. You're choked. You know that Christ should be your treasure, but you also know that work's too important to you, and you don't see yourself more mature and growing in your faith than this time last year, and you don't see people being impacted by your influence like they should be. You're being choked, and you're the only one that's miserable. You're not seeing change in your life. You don't see growth in your life. You don't see healing. You don't see power, even though all of those things are available to you from our generous God. You have a divided heart. And as J.D. Greer says, distraction sends more people to hell than doubt. You're distracted by the weeds. And here's the thing about weeds. Weeds don't just go away on their own. Not very often do you hear weeds saying to each other, you know, we've been in this garden long enough. Let's go to someone else's garden. No, weeds don't do that. But when they get someplace, they tend to stick around. In fact, more than stick around, they spread. They invite friend weeds to come over. They're like, hey, Bob, yeah, come on over, man. I found a fantastic plot over here that's not being tended or cared for at all. We're totally free to do our thing. Bring your kids. They'll have a blast, right? And pretty soon the weeds have taken over. Look at this little before and after picture of this garden bed. You know, that doesn't happen. Going from weeds to kind of a well-manicured garden, it doesn't happen automatically. Weeding is intentional, it's time consuming, but it's the only way the good stuff can grow. Otherwise, the good stuff's all gonna get choked out. And so Jesus says, beware of a hard heart, beware of a shallow heart, beware of a divided heart. And now look at verse 23. It says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. And he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. And here's the point. Cultivate a receptive heart. Underline that phrase there that says good soil in verse 23 and just write receptive heart in the margin. Now, notice the words used to describe this person. It says that she hears the word, understands the word, and bears fruit. The sure sign that the soil is good is that it produces fruit itself and then it reproduces. And I want to draw your attention for a moment to just how fruitful the seed is in this soil. A typical seed would provide a harvest of 8 times what was sown. So when Jesus talks about 30 and 60 and 100 times what was sown, he is describing something miraculous. He's saying that when the word of the kingdom takes root in your heart, it produces miraculous results. That it's going to show up in how you treat people and in your generosity of spirit and how quickly you forgive others, even your enemies. It'll show up in your excitement and passion for worship, your diligence in telling others about the hope of Christ. And because it's miraculous, that means people are going to notice. There's going to be constant evidence in your life that Jesus is at work. You see, a seed that has taken root is a very powerful force. You ever seen one of these in the city? A tree that has broken up through the concrete. What happened there? A seed that took root in good soil, even though obstacles were put in its path, even worthy obstacles like a concrete slab or an asphalt patch, it won't be stopped. That tiny, vulnerable, unassuming little seed, given the right soil, becomes an unstoppable force. Guys, that's the kingdom of God in a receptive heart. Suddenly you have the power to burst through depression and addiction. You can split pride and apathy and sexual oppression. If it feels like your marriage is facing a concrete barrier, if your career is blocked by some barricade, if a relationship feels like it's stuck forever, welcome to the word of the kingdom in a receptive heart, and let's see what God might do. You see, one of the reasons I'm so excited about our night of worship that's coming up in about a week and a half on May 30th is that in keeping with our story series, a number of people are going to share their personal story of how God is transforming their lives. Nothing is more exciting and inspiring than seeing God at work. You seriously don't want to miss this awesome Wednesday night event. Now let me bring this message to a close today. What a powerful and straightforward story of Jesus that we investigated. Notice the sowing of the seed actually reveals the nature of the soil. The scattering of the truth of the gospel actually reveals the nature of the heart. And so I ask you again today, how's your heart? Is it hard and resistant? Are you easily distracted? Or are you the kind that allows the cares of this world to choke out what God is trying to do in your life today? Guys, God wants you to grow. God wants you to flourish. God wants you to be able to love and forgive somebody tomorrow that you couldn't love and forgive yesterday. God wants you to find that sin, that the sin in your life has less and less hold on you. It just doesn't look as good anymore like it used to. God wants you to be able to share your faith with greater boldness and effectiveness simply because he's so central to your life. He wants you to live so deeply that hope and grace just flow out of you. Which soil are you today? And let me go one step further with this and just ask, what's the job of soil? And the answer is quite humbling. You know, without some outside force acting upon it, soil is capable of nothing. It doesn't water itself, it doesn't sun itself, it doesn't plow itself. And so your job is to put yourself in a position to hear and to receive the word of God. And then to go to the gardener himself and say, listen, I have rocks and I have thorns and I have hardness of heart and I need cultivated. And he will do that work. But first you must receive the word. Listen to it, obey it, give yourself to it. Are you hearing and understanding the word of the kingdom today? Then ask the gardener to cultivate the soil of your heart. We're going to end today with a time of prayer. Some of you, God is tugging at you right now. Some of you have a hard heart, or a divided heart because of a relationship. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody and you're holding on to bitterness and resentment. You've tried and failed before because your heart was shallow. Some of you have been disappointed. You had a dream maybe that's crumbled, a hope that didn't get realized. Maybe a kind of shell has formed around your heart and you deal with disappointment by becoming kind of cynical or distracted or shallow. If you're honest today about the truth of your life, there's no spiritual depth there at all. The soil of your heart needs tended to. In some cases, it needs broken up, it needs plowed. Your heart needs to be softened by tears of repentance. My guess is if soil had feelings, it would probably not like this plowing business very much at all. If you were to ask soil, would you like to be plowed or weeded? The soil would probably say, listen, I think I'll take a pass on that. Thank you. I think I'll just stay the way I am because plowing hurts and breaking up hard ground hurts and weeding and removing stuff that I've gotten used to hurts. Deepening hurts. But I want to remind you today that turning over the soil of your heart is not the worst pain. No, the worst pain is to remain hard and to remain barren and empty and shallow, to remain distracted, and to never live the life that you were created to live before time began. That's the worst pain. And so we come to the gardener and we ask, please give me a receptive heart. Please tend to the thorns and the rocks. And when you ask him to tend to the thorns and the rocks, what do you think the king of this incredible kingdom is going to say? He's going to say, of course I will. I took your thorns in my brow. I was buried under your rocks. I've taken those things upon myself so that you might grow and so that you might thrive and so that you might flourish. That's what I'm here for. And so at all our locations now and online, we're going to come before the King of this kingdom in prayer as a next step. I'm going to ask your host to come now and lead us through this time.